Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running out flames in the buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So, here's Rick.
And here we are with another edition of the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm really excited about this week's podcast on the Louisville.am network. It's turned out to be a really, really cool thing. I'm getting a lot of good positive feedback out in the community, the people I talk to. The show is, you can see summaries of all the shows on the website, rustysatelliteshow.com, which my good friend Jason Smith has created for us, Mr. and Smith, Mrs. Smith PR. He's done a great job with that, and you can find pictures, photographs of all our guests there on the site. Speaking of past guests, I wanted to mention just real quickly in my intro that we had two of our guests in past shows were involved in Kickstarter campaigns for their projects, and the Kickstarter campaigns that they had wrapped up this week, and we had one win and one kind of loss. But so we'll talk about the good news first, and that is if you remember, Adam Lefko was on here. He was the WHS 11 sports director, involved in getting a film together about a documentary about the red versus blue rivalry in basketball. And the good news is, after coming in at the last minute, they raised over $40,000. To get that project launched. So you can expect that if all goes well, the way Adam said right here on the Rusty Satellite Show, that late this fall, that documentary will be complete, and hopefully we'll be able to go to the theater and see it. And won't that be exciting? The other guest that we had, Nick Weiss, was promoting a Kickstarter campaign trying to get a documentary done about the world's greatest extra. A young man named Jesse Hyman, and it's really a funny thing, and I'm really sorry he fell short of his goal, but I did talk to Nick, and he is still determined to do the movie. It's going to be, he's got some other funding sources, so even though his Kickstarter campaign didn't come off so well, it's still going to happen. So on with this week's Rusty Satellite Show, and I have two guests that I'm very excited about. A little later in the show, we'll hear from Diane Williamson. You heard her do the intro here on the show, and she's just a delightful conversation. She's a great interview. She's got some insight on some things and an interesting history in media here in Louisville, Kentucky. And my other guest, and somebody that I hope to have around for several shows, is a lovely and talented Angie Fenton, who is going to join me right now for an interview segment, and then we'll do the she's going to help me out with the news segment this week. So that's going to be great. That's all coming up, so stay tuned after this brief interlude for more from the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm pleased to have you right here in the studio in the Highlands of the Louisville.am network, Angie Fenton. Welcome, Angie.
Thanks, Rick. Good to see you.
It's good to see you. And boy, you a lot of times I have guests on this show that have a lot of experience in media here in town. But tell me a little bit about your background, first of all, and how you came to be here in Louisville and some of the interesting places you've been.
Well, my degrees are in English. I have a bachelor's and a master's from Central Michigan University, where I was a full-fledged adjunct professor, excuse me.
And the Chippewa, of course.
And the Chippewa, yes,
all right.
Definitely.
Go Chippewa.
And then it's a lame story, but I moved here for love. fell in love with the city,
which is why I know.
Followed my heart. That didn't work out, but I fell in love with Louisville. I don't have any family who lived anywhere near Louisville, no one in Kentucky. But I've stayed just because it's such a tremendous community in so many different ways. But what's funny, when I speak, especially to college students, they always want to know, so how many classes did you take, and what was your specialty in journalism? And I I took journalism 101. I had no intention of working in the media. I thought I was going to be a college professor, and I was going to write.
But somehow you landed here, and you ended up in this pretty high-profile spot back when the Courier-Journal was a little bit of a bigger deal than it is now. But how'd you get started over there, and how'd that happen?
Well, I started freelancing when I was down here. Started freelancing, got some actual national success, which was wonderful. My first piece I sold blindly. I sent a query letter, and it was on a dog who was getting a kidney transplant. Dog Fancy Magazine bought it, and then from there, that just helped for me to be able to write other stories. Well, eventually Velocity, if you remember that publication, right, which I absolutely hate seeing it now. It hurts my heart. But when that, I was the, excuse me, I was the final writer that they hired.
Wow.
And I sat down in that silly lobby at 525 West Broadway waiting for Jim Lenahan to just take my resume. I didn't want to just drop it off. I wanted to meet him. I still believe that's why I got the job. Because he had, I mean, dozens, if not over hundreds, of resumes from across the country. And
sure. Good job-seeking advice there, because, you know, you got to do something to stand out if you're in a competitive job situation.
You do. And, I mean, I really think that he saw me as a human and not just a piece of paper, mm-hmm, because I didn't have the newspaper background that they wanted. But I was able to prove myself, and a year and a half later, applied for the position of the Buzz columnist in the features department at the Courier and got that. And so I was there for a total of 5 years. But the TV stuff came up because I was the Buzz columnist during the whole Larry Burkhead, Anna Nicole Smith, Danny Lynn saga, when Larry was trying to bring the baby back from the Bahamas. And, you know, I remember that was on CNN and MSNBC. I mean, it was ridiculous that our national news networks were showcasing this. But long story short, I'm sitting at my desk, and all of a sudden I get a phone call from Greta Von Susteren from Fox News National, her producer. And they said, would you go on TV tonight to talk about Larry Burkhead and Anna Nicole Smith? And I started laughing, like, what ridiculousness is this? But I did, and it was a little place right there on the corner of Broadway and Barrett. And my family, whom I hadn't seen for months and months, got to tune in and see me all over, you know, from their homes all over the country. I owe it to Larry Burkhead and Anna Nicole, but
tabloid TV is the greatest thing in the world, right?
Well, then Wave 3, Wave 3's general manager saw me, and even though I look at it now and I just go, ugh, I just cringe watching myself, he liked what I did and wanted to see if I could do what I did in the Buzz column on TV. And Ron and Mal Fisher from 84 WHAS, every Saturday morning, they have a morning show. And they had asked just previously, or prior to that, if I could do in the Buzz for them on Saturday mornings.
So one thing sort of leads to another,
sure,
right?
And I didn't say no. That was the thing. I always tell people, I will try anything, but at least once. You know, I don't say no.
Right, and I've seen you, you do a lot of runway shows, you do the Churchill Downs gig and all that. So a lot of people in town know about you, Angie, and where you're from. And you know, we have a connection. I thought I'd mention here that you know, I owe a lot to you. At Brown Mackey College, what was your position over there?
I was the general education chair while I was a freelance columnist for the Voice Tribune. That's after I left the Courier.
Wow. Well, you know, it was interesting at a time when I was looking for something to do. You hired me as an instructor in public speaking over there, and
great.
Well, I don't know if I was great. You'd probably gotten fired if I ended up not doing that anymore because they found out I didn't have a master's degree, which I still don't. And it didn't matter at first, but after I know,
it was so strange to follow those rules. I mean, that's one thing. I really enjoyed my time at Brown Mackey. I would never teach for a for-profit institution again, though. I learned.
Right. They've got some questionable tactics over there and the students, and we probably shouldn't get into that. But I had a good time while I was there,
and
it's just a funny experience. And it actually led to my current position with Alpha Energy Solutions. So that's a long story I won't share here, but it really turned out to be a good thing for me. So I'm still thanking you, Angie, for bringing me on there. Now let me ask you about your current main thing that you do with WHAS TV, you know, the Great Day Live show, and I'm and it's a very entertaining show, but you get to do some really, you know, odd interviews and activities, right?
Yes. Well, I was up until very recently. my main gig was the managing editor of the Voice Tribune. And as happens in this industry, I walked into work on an average everyday Monday and was told my position had been eliminated. So I'm no longer there. I am every weekday and have been for 2 years with WHAS 11's Great Day Live. I'm the out and about gal, is what I like to say. I'm the entertainment correspondent. For instance, today I was playing with a bunch of kids and reading in the Louisville Free Public Library. Tomorrow I'll be playing tennis with adults of all ages. And next week I'm doing some aerial yoga thing hanging from the ceiling.
Now, I'm saying you do some sort of, not weird, but, you know, you get yourself
you
into some
weird.
Unusual situations
you
there.
You say weird.
What's one of the wildest things you've done on the air?
Oh, gosh. Well, one of the wildest things that happened to me, I let one of those professional BMX bike riders jump over my head.
Oh.
And I'm petrified. I mean, but again, I will do anything. I've always just kind of been that, I don't know. I was such a tomboy growing up. I just have not outgrown that. But he jumps over my head, and it looks like he's cleared me by an inch. I mean, really, when you watch the video, it's at least 6 to 7 inches. But it's mm-hmm. still, it's my head.
And it's coming right at you, right?
Go right, face forward, jumps over me. I'm shaking. I'm so exhilarated. And I say, it's a great day to be alive. And then I fall down the ramp on live TV. But we've done, I mean, everything from flying, like when they suspend you. I'm trying to think of one of the concerts, Taylor Swift flies out over the audience, or in mm-hmm. Wicked, when the witches fly. The company that travels around the globe, they're one of them. They're based right here in town, so I got to fly. I mean, I've eaten things. I was dressed head to toe as a geisha girl and had a had a meeting after that and had my face still painted white. And if you don't know, I was born with a tan, so for me to be turned white was quite an accomplishment.
Right. Well, it must be quite an experience doing all those things, especially on TV with everybody watching and you know, it is entertaining. So that's something obviously you enjoy. What else is going on with you? I know you're involved in a lot of causes and different activities in town.
Well, that's part of it with Great Day Live. Part of what I love is it's my job to showcase really amazing people and places. I mean, I get to help shine that spotlight on, mm-hmm. and that's what I love for the causes. I mean, if you turn on your computer, your iPad, whatever, and if you ever log on to my Facebook page, you will inevitably see dogs.
There are a lot of dogs on your Facebook page, Angie. I meant to mention that to you.
I have three dogs, including one who was a rescue from the Arrow Fund who uses a wheelchair, that's Zeke. And so we have slowly, now I've had him since February, we've slowly started to work with differently abled kids and adults, which is pretty cool when they see this 90-pound mammoth black dog in a wheelchair and making those connections. I do a lot with rescue lost and found dogs. But then I also have been fortunate that people trust me with helping to facilitate their charity events. I love emceeing. I love, even it's just a tiny part of someone's event, but it's such an easy thing. I'm good at multitasking, and I enjoy connecting with people. So I'm doing a lot of those things. But I have some pretty cool freelance projects in the works that I can't say anything about yet.
Oh, darn it. Come on, let us know. If we can break us. We do scoops here on the Rusty Satellite Show. We'd love to hear a lot about. We'd love to hear about what you do in the future, and hopefully you'll come back to the show. And we want to help us promote the Rusty Satellite Show. It's a great enterprise we're starting up here, and great to have you as a friend of the show. And Angie, I'm going to ask you if you'll just stick around and talk about some local news with me.
I'd love to.
All right. Big news here in town this week. Jerry Abramson, former mayor for life, has announced that he is not, as some expected, going to run for governor in a couple of years. What do you think about that, Angie?
I think he's just stunned people, absolutely mm-hmm. stunned them, because I was behind the scenes with a bunch of different media outlets, and everybody was saying, oh, he's going to declare that he's running for governor.
Well, that was the whole thing 2 years ago when he became lieutenant governor and got on the ticket. It was like, well, he doesn't really want to do the lieutenant governor thing, but he'll do it because it'll put him in a perfect position to become governor in 2015. And, you know, I don't know. It's really hard, I guess, in the lieutenant governor's seat to say whether he's doing any good there or not. But he announced yesterday at a Rotary Club in E-Town that he was going to not run for governor, that he was going to focus his remaining time on education, of all things. And, you know, to me, I think that's good for the Commonwealth. It's good for the state, because what do you want your elected officers to do? Do you want them to run for another office, or do you want them to work on a project that might benefit the people of Kentucky? So I'm all for it. I'm not sure that there's a lot of speculation, because he's Jewish and because he's not so popular out in the state, that he would have a really difficult time winning a statewide election when he's the number one guy. That's what what I hear.
I'm excited to see what he'll do. He puts passion into everything that he takes on. But I keep thinking that at one point he had a current affairs TV show. So look out, host. I'd like to
maybe
see.
Maybe we get Dan in touch with him. He'll do a podcast here. The speculation, of course, is that he does have his eye on one particular job. You want to take a guess at what the scuttlebutt is on that, Angie?
I'll let you go with that one.
Well, a lot of people say he has a long time had his eyes on the presidency of the University of Louisville. And personally, I don't think that's going to happen either. Number one, they've got a president. James Ramsey's doing a great job. His contract is through 2020. And so there is some who will say that he is he may not stay that whole time. But and the other criticism of this whole plan is that when his name was floated a long time ago before Ramsey came up, that some of the faculty over there, because he maybe doesn't have the right degrees, would not enthusiastically accept a politician as the new president. So I don't know. Can you imagine Abramson as president at U of L?
I can imagine him in any capacity. I really can. He was the consummate politician, but at the same time, I mean, I really am excited to see what he does. You get people who they run. I mean, his political career spans 5 decades.
Right.
Who can blame him? It's time to do something else, maybe.
Yeah, he's 67. He might just not do anything, you know, which would be hard for somebody that's, you know, all wound up like that, I guess. But it does, you know, a lot of the speculation in politics, last week was Fancy Farm, and all the attention is going to the McConnell race and Matthew Bevin and all that, and rightly so, because it's going to be a big election in Kentucky. But in 2 years, we're going to elect a new governor in the state, and there was talk at Fancy Farm about that. Now with Abramson out, I'd say on the Democratic side, it sort of opens up a whole new whole new thing. So a lot of talk I hear. I don't know if you hear any differently. Crit Llewellyn is a candidate, or Jack Conway. On the Democratic side, I would suspect that, since Llewellyn and Conway are kind of allies, that one of those two. But I'm certain there will be a primary in 2015 on the Democratic side. Certainly on the Republican side, there's going to be a primary, because did you hear the new name that's being floated as a GOP candidate for governor?
No.
Well, I'm full of information.
It's
here.
It's good thing that you're up on your information, because I'm no help.
Former mayoral candidate, I'm sure you know, Hal Heiner, was down at Fancy Farm and has been active in trying to get charter schools in Kentucky.
Right.
And that's not going over well. That's at this point dead in the water, but Heiner has political aspirations. He ran a good race in the mayor's race against Greg Fisher, and you know, I don't know, have you spoken with Heiner in your travels?
Years, because in Michigan, Central Michigan University had a center dedicated to the development of charter schools.
Oh, really?
So I spoke with him just very, very briefly.
Okay. Well, it's going to be interesting to see if he does the race. The other, like, spoken candidates right now. Phil Moffitt is let it be known that he's interested in the campaign, and sort of the shining star in state Republican circles right now is the agriculture commissioner, Jamie Comer. So it's likely that a primary will feature all or at least those three. So we'll see how that happens in 2015. But let's move on to a more fun subject, football.
Football,
almost time for football. Now, you may not be a great football fan, but big news out of the University of Louisville this week. Former Auburn University running back was the piled up a bunch of awards in 2010, 2011, led them to a national championship. Michael Dyer announced this week that he's coming to the University of Louisville, and that is kind of surprising, given that in addition to all his accolades at Auburn, he's been arrested a few times. He's been associated with drugs. He's been associated with guns. He's been to two different schools, and suddenly he turns up at the University of Louisville. How do you think that's going to turn out?
I think if there's any coach that would be the most beneficial for this young man, Charlie Strong is it. 100%, hands down. I think this kid is in for a life-changing experience. And when you talk to Coach Strong, he's not playing lip service or paying lip service when he says that it's not just about being a football coach and the X's and the O's and the wins and the victories and all of that, but he is developing young men. And that, I really, truly believe, is at the core of what Coach Strong wants to do.
Right. I'm with you, and I think, part of the media reports say that Strong has made this young man sign an obedience contract.
Oh, yes.
and you know, he's on a one strike and you're out.
And he will not be like, I mean, oh, I loved John L. and, you know, some of these other coaches with these big personalities, but, I mean, 15 chances, 16, and Coach Strong says one and done. He means it.
Yeah, and that's the thing with like I remember the Petrino era here was a glorious time for University of Louisville football, but it was also a time where there were more University of Louisville football players on the police blotter than at any other time in history. There was always somebody getting arrested associated with guns or drugs or shootings and all that. And you know, that's just been totally eliminated under Strong. And he's got the leader of his team now, Teddy Bridgewater, seems like the model citizen, right?
Yes. Oh, he is such just an incredible young man. When you sit down and talk and interview him, Teddy's so humble. I mean, I just, the core of the team, they're going to surround Michael Dyer, and he is going to get the opportunity of a lifetime.
So if he, I guess, even thinks about stepping out of line, I think there's going to be a lot of people around him that are going to pull him back in, right?
For sure. And, you know, another one, Coach Moore, the strength coach, he is one of my favorite people. Had an opportunity to interview him, and he is so old school. But he told a story where the reason he's so hard and so tough and so strong, he trained a young man in the gym, and then a few hours later, the young man went home and killed himself. Oh. And for Coach Moore, it took him a long time to wrap his head around, what could I have done differently? So there are people on Coach Strong's staff, including Coach Strong, they take this stuff, I mean, life and death seriously. So perfect place for Michael Dyer.
Yeah, and you know, it really is great for the city and for the university but I do think this is a big test for Coach Strong.
Sure.
Because, you know, he hasn't really taken on these bad kids before. And we're not going to label Dyer a bad kid, but he is a, you know, in the sports world, I think they call it questionable character kid. Can he change the behavior that got him into trouble and put that behind him? Because we know he's a talented football player. And the people who are looking at it just from a football standpoint are elated because he's at a position, he's a star, he could really really make a difference for the team on the football field. And we're looking at, you know, the predictions are this could be certainly the university's best season ever.
And I love also that Coach Strong made sure that when Michael Dyer visited, that he met with the leaders on the team. So it wasn't just coaches making this decision, but he included the team because they're going to be affected too.
Right. So that's going to be a big story. We'll follow it as it goes on. And the other story, just moving on from football, I wanted to talk about, you know, this is one of my favorite things. And you know, Angie, I know you probably don't pay attention to such controversies, but, it involves misuse of taxpayer money. And it's just one of those things that makes my skin crawl when these public officials use taxpayer money for parties and alcohol and lunches and drinks. And I'm talking about the Kentucky Emergency Management Association. The state auditor, Adam Evelyn, came out with a report this week that said that over $200,000 was basically wasted on entertaining people associated with this. They did things like they altered bills to make it look like they weren't spending so much on one thing, that $40 steak dinners were they created invoices that said they were only 15, because 15 is the limit that the state allows for dinners. So they don't want to make these people pay anything out of their pocket. You know, they're state government employees. The other one is, you know, they paid $3,600. One of the things, $3,600 for a Belle Louisville cruise for these Kentucky Emergency Management Association group to go on. The guy in charge is a guy named Brigadier General John Heltzel, and you know, I like to get on the governor, because I don't think Governor Beshear has been a very effective or lived up to the promises that he made when he got elected. You know, he made a statement. It's up to Beshear whether anybody's head rolls because of this controversy. And Beshear made a weak statement and said he's going to look into it or whatever. But you know, something like this is a bad abuse, just like the ethics trial last week with Barbara Shanklin. You know, people's heads are not rolling because, you know, they basically get away with it. So this guy, this Brigadier General, he wasn't responsible for all this stuff that Adam Evelyn uncovered in the state auditor, and he still got a job. I don't think he's going to get fired. And you know, that's something that I think is a problem in our society. Barbara Shanklin's still our Metro Council representative for District 2. And so that's my rant on that, Angie, huh? How about that?
You're good at what you do.
Well, I just don't, I guess I don't do a very good job of holding back my opinions on things, especially when it involves people, again, abusing, doing the wrong thing. Basically, you know, your elected officials or your people who work in the government, you know, they have a bigger responsibility than anybody else to properly use the monies that are provided for them to do their jobs. And when they don't do that, when they get caught red-handed with it, they ought to pay a price. And at the very least, that price should be they lose their job. So it doesn't happen around here a lot when those things happen. And that's sort of a disappointment. But good for the journalist and good for the auditor to uncover this stuff. And
absolutely,
if we could only make people care about it, right? So, anyway, I want to thank you, Angie, for being here with me on my guest, listening to my rant and rave, and telling me about Coach Strong and your relationships with him. It's really fun to have you in here. The next thing I've got to do on the Rusty Satellite Show, we're going to introduce our next guest. It's Diane Williamson. You know her voice. You may not know her face, but Diane is a delightful personality. And here is my interview with Diane.
I'm really pleased to have a beautiful woman with me here today, Diane Williamson, who is, you may have heard her voice on the promos for this show, and she's got a great voice, don't you, Diane?
Well, thank you. It's all spackle and paste, by the way, but thanks for the compliment.
Okay, well, whatever. To my audience out there, you've probably heard Diane a lot more than you think you have. She's been involved with a lot of customers, a lot of clients that advertising spots, et cetera. But, you know, I think the thing that's coolest to me, and maybe your biggest client or one of your most noteworthy clients is OnStar, right? Tell me how that came about.
That's right. They were looking for a new voice. I think that the woman who's been their voice since its inception, I don't know how long OnStar has been around, probably 10 years anyway. But anyway, they decided they wanted a different voice. This happens a lot. I've been the voice that has been kicked out and someone else came in after me, but in this particular instance, they did a search and they found me, and we did extensive auditions, and I think they did focus groups. And after a few months of auditioning, they hired me, and I've been working with them really for about 2 years. It's taken that long.
It seems interesting to me that these automated voices that we hear all the time everywhere, how you can have such a variety of things to say, because I guess you have to say every road in America and be able to do that. How does that happen?
Oh, it happens over a very long time. I want to say that was last summer I was doing the naming of the roads. And, of course, there are new roads that are being built, or mm-hmm. roads get renamed, or, you know, it's almost a never-ending process. Someone asked me the other day, do you get paid residuals? I'm like, well, I don't really need to, because they keep calling me, you know.
So you have to redo stuff for OnStar, like, on a regular basis?
Yeah, I had some work with them last, it was Tuesday, and, you know, I can count on hearing from them at least once a month.
Wow.
Right.
Okay. Well, you've got an extensive background, I know, in media, and maybe we'll let you fill our listeners in on that. I am, you know, I think we got a lot in common. We've had a lot of jobs, right? And eventually you either get fired from the job or you leave them, or something happens. But you were just telling me you've had a number of different employers and things you've done. Tell me some of those. What are the more fun ones?
Well, my first job was at a little Christian radio station in Louisville, WXLN, and I kind of fell into that. Mm-hmm. And from there, I kept getting picked, you know, and another station would call and offer me another job, and it would be better and more money and a bigger station, et cetera, et cetera. And I was really blessed. The Fox 41 called and said, hey, we're looking for an entertainment reporter. You want to do that? Well, yeah.
So yeah, I remember. I've forgotten until this very moment, I'd forgotten you did that.
I did. And when they when they expanded their newscast to an hour, they called, and Hal Stoffel was the news director, and he remembered me from when I was at HAS Radio, because he was at HAS Television. Anyway, so over and over, I kept getting poached, essentially, to another opportunity that was better and better, until 2001, when I lost my radio job. It was the first and only time I was ever let go, and then my television job.
Ego-crushing defeat, right?
You know, people in radio are used to that. I think people in television are used to that. For me, I was like, really? Okay. So I took my toys and went home, and I never went back.
Your thought is they'll never be able to it won't go on. The life will end for those people without me, right?
You know, I didn't even think about it like that. The funny thing is, I remember when the general manager called me in to let me know I no longer had a job at his radio station. This is what an idiot I am. I said, well, you know, I know someone who could do a really good job at this. Why don't you call them up? Anyway, they had someone else in mind. And, you know, I'd been doing it for so long. You know, after a while, they had to look at numbers and costs.
So that was a little bit of a rough patch, though, after you lost those shows. You had to take some outside of broadcasting work that was. Now, I'll tell you, you know, just sort of, I've delivered newspapers. So, you know, I know what it is when you can't do what you want to do and you have to do something else. So.
It didn't even occur to me to look for another job in radio or television. I don't know why. I didn't reach out to anybody, any stations. I drove home. I was on my way home. I stopped in Clarksville at the Green Tree Mall and put an application in at Dillard's.
Well, there you go.
Selling lawn comb. And I did that for a while. And then I sold some diamonds. And then I started renting tower cranes and construction hoists.
Of course. That's a natural transition from one job to another.
Yes.
Right. So now that then we'll conclude your career. Then the big break came not too long ago. I guess you actually stopped doing those other things and became a full time voice talent artist, which is what I want to be when I grow up.
Well, it's a nice job if you can get it. The whole time I was you know, for a while, trying to just make ends meet. I was always working on my freelance voice work. Trying to develop new revenue streams, clientele, et cetera. A studio in my home. I'd had a studio in my home since I moved into the house in 2000. So, you know, with word of mouth and me getting online and sending demos out pretty much every day, over time I was able to develop enough of clientele that in January of 2011 I was able to quit my full-time job.
Yippee.
As a tower crane rental specialist, which we're not going to say what I said earlier.
Well, I don't know if there's many tower crane rental specialists. That's probably as rare a job as voice talent.
Mm-hmm.
In this
yeah,
area.
I could talk to you about hide under a hook and pick weights and jibs, and it's crazy. We had construction projects going from Las Vegas to Miami to Detroit.
Wow, that's I know it's a big business. I'm in a similar business, sort of sideways in contracting, and that's where a lot of money is. So tell me a little bit more about you, Diane. Now, I know you you have the voice talent business. You're involved in some other activities, I know.
Yes, my brother's production company is Pro Media Group, and they're over in New Albany, Indiana. And they have some clients that need they have some social media clients. Mm-hmm. So I manage the social media aspect of Danny, my brother Dan Williamson's clients, which the city of New Albany is one, the city of Jeffersonville, and the New Albany Floyd County School Corporation. Each week, I write and produce a weekly video news release that runs on the school corporation's website, Facebook page, YouTube channel. And it can be anything from a teacher feature where we're talking about, a teacher. We had a teacher, actually a principal, go to Kenya over the summer. Mm-hmm. So I'll be talking to him later this week. And, kind of like what you do, I go find these stories, find interesting people, talk to them, mm-hmm. and, bring it back and produce it.
Well, now that you mentioned that wide expanse, or I call it the Ohio Ocean, because I try to never go across if I can avoid it. But, I do read the paper, and so you must have been working. You're going to have to – you're probably going to slap me for reminding you this, but where is it that the wife or ex-wife came in and she started throwing things around the mayor's – was it the mayor?
Oh, the office over there? That's the mayor of Jeffersonville.
Oh, yes, you didn't have to work for him.
Though. The city of Jeff is one of my clients, and okay. And I, if you go to the city of Jeffersonville's Facebook page, for the most part, if there's something on that page, I posted it.
Okay. So, okay. How do you handle that? I talk to PR people on the show, and so that thing, we're not going to go over that a lot, but how do you, as a PR person, handle a negative publicity like that?
Keep in mind, I wouldn't really say I'm a PR person.
Mm-hmm.
I am rainbows and sunshine, okay?
It's all good news all the time.
It's all good news as far as the city of Jeffersonville, the school corporation, Facebook page. And, there is an aspect of communication with respect, for instance, to the school corporation. People want to know. They have questions. Hey, where are the school supply lists? And, they'll post those questions on our Facebook page. And so, you're going to get some people making some comments. But, it's a public forum. What are you going to do? You're not going to censor that.
Yeah. Well, you're not. Well, you do sort of because, the site that I manage, if somebody says something really radical, we get rid of it.
Right. And yes. There are some legalities that revolve around that, though, considering that these are public entities.
Right.
If it were a business and someone posted something on She Said Productions is my business and my Facebook page. If someone talks smack about me on my Facebook page, I'm going to pull it off.
Exactly. Exactly. Way back in the day when I first started blogging, that was a very controversial issue that, what are we going to do if somebody says something negative to us on the blog? What are we going to do? And it was your integrity was at stake if you would leave the negative comment up to show that you were being fair and all that. So
yes, as long as you respond to it, I think that at the end of the day, most people, if they have a complaint or a concern, they may not like your response, but the fact that you at least respond,
mm-hmm.
I think that's important.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to let you go. Our time is about up, but I want to ask you, you told me you have another sideline, and that is giving advice to men, right?
Yeah.
Because I could use some, maybe.
Yes, your Match.com profile, it's lacking. We could do much better for you, I think.
For the record, I'm not on Match.com currently, but I've heard about people that are.
Yeah.
And Diane was sharing some stories about funny things that happen out on dates. So I guess you may have to call her to get the scoop on those stories. But they're pretty funny.
I seriously considered starting a business because, you guys, I tell you what, guys, y'all need a wingman, and it should be a wing woman because we can tell you what you're doing wrong.
Well, I will hire you for that. That'll be great. I think I could use some help. So, anyway, that's going to conclude. I want to thank Diane Williamson. Diane, tell our audience how they find you on the web or whatever.
Well, DianeWilliamson.com or SheSaidProductions.com or go to Facebook and like any of the pages I manage, City of New Albany, City of Jeffersonville, or the New Albany Floyd County School Corporation, and see a little bit of what I do each week.
All right, great. Well, I just want to call you up and listen to your voice. It's really great.
Thanks.
So thanks, Diane, for appearing on this episode of The Rusty Satellite Show.
And that puts another edition of The Rusty Satellite Show in the books. Until next time, this is Rick Redding for The Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to The Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding.